Schroeder interview. This is side one.
This is Raymond C. Ferguson. I'm interviewing Herman Schroeder at his home in Stone Gates, Greenville, Delaware. And this is the morning of December 30th, 1986. Well, Herman, the first thing we wanted to start out with was your family background. What was your father's occupation?
My father was a... he ended up selling insurance. He had some real estate business, and he sold real estate and insurance. He'd started out in a wholesale hardware business that his father had founded and owned. And my dad didn't really want to get into that. I guess his father was too strong a character for him. You know, that can often happen. And he grew up in New York City. His father was born in Germany and came over as a 10-year-old, the last of some six brothers, I think it was, each having brought the other one over, you know, in steps. Started that German fuss in the 1840s when there was a lot of turmoil. And the other half of my family was... Danish and sort of mingled American.
This was your mother's side.
Yeah.
Had, her family had come over early too? Or?
Yeah, her family had come over, well, her father just came over from Denmark in about, 1765, somewhere in there. 1865, excuse me. But her mother's family had come over to this country. The only part I know about around 1740 was in that that immigration from Central Europe, people from the Rhineland and Alsace and France and so forth. But they lived in New York all that time. They had a farm in the Bronx, and Lord knows who married whom. You know what's all mixed up in there.
So, somewhere or another, I pictured you as a more recent immigrant.
Yeah.
You mentioned one time that you had some problems growing up in Brooklyn with the German name.
Yeah, that was because of the... I grew up... I was born in 1915, so I was a little kid when the Führer and the First World War was around, and with a name like Schroeder... there was a lot of prejudice, just as there was prejudice in this last war with the Germans and the Japanese, the Italians.
Yeah. Did you
but
have brothers?
My family was basically a New York family. Mm-hmm. Dad was born in New York. My mother was born in New York.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
One sister, 2.5 years younger than I.
Mm-hmm. What did she go on to do?
She went to Radcliffe and didn't like that, and then she went to a little college in Indiana, Earlham. It's a Quaker college, and she loved that. She studied classics and Greek and stuff like that. And then she got married and had two boys. She married a physical chemist.
No.
Terrible fate.
I'll pass that.
Actually, she was Herman Mark's secretary for a while.
Is that right?
Yeah. I had an interesting, this might fit on what you have on Mark.
Yeah.
I ran into Herman, whom I'd known, on a consulting trip when he was going around to the plants in our departments to talk about polymers. And I was detailed to go along with him to... be sure that the fellas didn't tell Herman anything they shouldn't, because he had a tendency to assimilate everything that was given to him and immediately put it out in a lecture. So I was there kind of as a watchdog, and there wasn't any problem. It was fun. But as we were sitting in the plane, I got talking with him. I said, "Say, Herman, do you know my sister worked for you? She was almost your first secretary." He says, "No, I don't remember that." He said, "What was her name?" I said, "Her name was Rose." He said, "Oh, Rosie." and my sister says that Herbert used to chase her around the desk. You know, she was 21, something like that, 22.
Sounds like other tales I've heard
about
Herman.
Yeah.
Did he ever introduce you to his girlfriend?
May have, I don't know. Okay. I got introduced to lots of people by him. I partook of a lot of parties with him, but they're sort of fuzzy in my head.
Okay, let's go back to your elementary school or your beginning education.
I started in New York City in a public school, and I graduated from the grammar school, class grade 8, I guess it is, at 12. Skipped a couple of years and went to, my parents put me in a private school because I went up to the local high school to just to see where they wanted to put me, and they decided they wanted to skip me 2 more years. And my dad thought that was absolutely ridiculous, you know, this little kid. So I ended up in a private school called Polytechnic Preparatory Country Day School, just a day school in the city. And it's called Poly Prep. It's a good school.
Located in Brooklyn? Or
yeah, it's located in Brooklyn at a not too far from where the Verrazano Bridge goes from Staten Island into Bay Ridge. Nice school. And there you get a typical sort of old-style classical private school education. Latin, I studied Latin, German, history, English, and science, math.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, I had no chemistry. They had
really?
It, but I never took any chemistry, but I took all the math they could possibly give me. In fact, one special course and all the physics I could get out of them, biology, and 4.5 years of German and 5 years of Latin.
So you were there 4 years then?
I was there 4.5 years.
4.5 years.
Uh-huh. I stayed. I gave back part of the time I jumped. In fact, I was all ready to go to college, but I was so young, the headmaster said, why don't you stay, take what you want.
Well, how old were you when you were...
Well, I was... I graduated from the high school when I was 16.
I see. So you were a bit
could
of a
been,
prodigy
could have been 15.
Then.
No.
No,
just... Just a good learner.
I see. Read a lot. What got you interested in science?
A couple things. One, it just interested me. Everything I read about it. I love math. In fact, that was my basic love in school. Taking a course in math was like eating candy, as far as I could. Real gut course, you know. I just loved it, and I love physics. And I was just reading about things. I had a doctor for our family who thought I'd be a good physician, and he used to take me around Brooklyn in his... he had a red Cadillac convertible, one of these open things that you put the top up on, and I used to toot around the car, and he'd visit his patients, and then he'd talk to me about his patients after he got out. He got me interested in that. So I went off to college sort of interested in biochemistry and possibly medicine.
You said you were in college while still at this prep school?
I took everything they had to offer.
Prep school.
The prep school, yeah.
Were your parents, how would you describe them, well-to-do or comfortable?
Middling, I would say. Not prosperous, but we weren't in any pain. I was able to get some scholarship. You got to remember, I was in this high school 28 to 32,
mm-hmm.
and money disappeared fast. And then going to Harvard, I needed some help, which was... You know, for a good student, it's relatively easy to get. And I did some tutoring work there.
Did your parents have education beyond high school? Or?
No, my father didn't. My father started to study law and decided not to. He wasn't a good student. He was intelligent, but he didn't really like that sort of stuff. Nor did my mother. My mother's sisters did, though, and my mother's second older sister was a teacher, high school teacher, and she helped me a lot when I was a youngster by, especially with things like math, because basically all you need, if you read a lot, to get through a primary school fast is to understand the mathematics. And she would teach me the whatever happened to be the necessary trick for the various mathematical, you know, the mechanics. So that's kind of what led to my skipping, because I could read so goddamn much. And I learned the math, and I could understand it easily. So once she'd tell me, and I went through the necessary rigor of just getting a hold of the mechanics, you know, just the detail you need, so you could jump ahead.
So how did you get to Harvard then?
Headmaster, a fellow named Allen, suggested I go there. I didn't really know much about the fit between various colleges and universities and people and their talents. I knew they were there, and I knew which were good, naturally. But he suggested I ought to go there. Maybe because he'd been there, and I was one of their prize students. So.
Was admission to Harvard at all complicated in those days?
No.
Comparable to now, say, where you go through all the...
No, wasn't at all. Now we're in 31, 32. What got into Harvard at those days, you had to take board exams and other exams, but what got you in was either money plus ability to get a certain grade on these board exams, or social status, money and ability to get by, or being quite intelligent and doing very well in the exams. It wasn't a great thing. A lot more difficult than getting into some other places, but it wasn't any problem. I got admitted to Harvard, Yale, MIT, no problem.
Okay, you were, I think you said earlier that you were interested in biology perhaps or medicine when you entered.
Yeah.
Did that continue or?
Not long. I took an elementary course in chemistry my first year, and that stirred me up a bit on chemistry. So I decided I'd really go after biochemistry. I got a 99 grade in Lamb's course, and the next highest was 88. So they got interested in me, and I got, as a result of that, as I went into my second year, and they picked out tutors, they gave me a real fine tutor, a guy named John Edsel, who was over at the Harvard Medical School working with old Cohn. And Edsel was a marvelous tutor. And having a tutor in those days meant you just sat and talked with this fellow. He'd give you books to read, and you'd talk to him and tell him what you thought of what you were learning and what was in the books, and the books kind of supplemented what you were picking up in the courses. So I was devouring books whose names I forget on biochemistry and biochemistry and the physical processes of biology. Then my second year I took organic chemistry. I really liked.
Who taught that?
Louis Fieser. And he was good, and I found that very easy, physics. And, who were the physics professors I had?
Names I think of. Did you ever take a course from Percy Bridgman?
Bridgman would come in and lecture to us periodically. He wasn't one of the main lecturer. I think it was Van Vleck also gave quite a bit. There was some a couple of fellows, I forget which did what to me, who later won Nobel Prizes, but they were damn good.
Yes.
And very stimulating. That's what really gets you about a place like that is the, as you know yourself, the stimulation you get from a really bright guy like Bright Wilson, George Kistiakowsky, or Purcell, or Purcell, however, whoever it is.
Yeah.
So I got... I got a stronger chemical interest in. I started gradually to lose interest in going to medical school through my sophomore year. Then the next year I took physical chemistry and analytical chemistry and some more physics and some more math.
Who taught those courses?
The analytical chemistry was.
Would have been Lundgren?
Baxter.
Baxter.
George,
yes.
Baxter. Easy course, but very boring with all, the, you know, for the likes of me. Very good man. Physical chemistry was a fellow named Henry Bent. And he was a terrible bore. He went out to Missouri. Awful nice guy. But a terrible bore. He used a British text, which used the British symbols for all the thermodynamic stuff.
Yeah.
And he lectured in the American ones. And he was soporific. So the net result of this was that I learned physical chemistry from things like Lewis and Randall and Getman and Daniels. I just chewed up the books.
I see. Bright Wilson wasn't teaching the
physical at that time. No, he wasn't. Let's see, math. My first year I had a fellow named Morse, who later went on to the Institute for Advanced Studies at Princeton. He's very good. Calculus. Second year I had a fellow named, two fellows, Graustein and Osgood. Both good. Osgood, brilliant. Graustein, a conservative, very good teacher. And then in the theory of functions and that kind of stuff, I had a guy named Alfors, and I forget the other fella. But they were all very nice. Fine teachers, very stimulating. Then I, my last year, I got into... Well, I took Paul Bartlett's course in physical organic chemistry and George Kistiakowsky's. And
Kistiakowsky was teaching an advanced...
It was M13. It was advanced physical chemistry. And that was very, very fascinating course. Quite a shock. First exam, I remember very well. George... gave us this exam, and I got a 43 on this exam, which turned out on the curve he was using to be a good grade. But you know what? That was an awful shock to a fellow who'd been grinding out top grades throughout his career. But it was very good for me. Very good. It gives you a sense of realism about science.
I'm afraid Kisti continued that tradition when I was there, because the comprehensives in physical chemistry were just horrendous.
Yeah, ghastly.
If you got half the questions right, you were
well,
really...
Well, on top of these fearsome questions he would ask you was the language gap. I had George when he didn't speak English as well as when you had him.
Oh, uh-huh.
And as a result, what he meant and what he said... Didn't exactly, gee.
I see.
Yeah, but it was good.
So, how about James Brown Conant? Was he in teaching chemistry at the time? Or?
No, Conant... Conant became president of the university in the end of my freshman year, in the spring. And... He was an influence on the chemistry department, particularly in some of the work that Elmer Kohler was doing, because they were good friends. And in my senior year, when I took Kohler's course too, advanced organic chemistry, Conant came in a couple of times to talk about selected subjects. Kohler's twist in his course there was largely a physical side of organic chemistry, the understanding of what you're doing. Not so physical as Bartlett's and some of those fellows, but basically that was the drive. And there were certain subjects that Conant would come in and talk about with us.
Did you have a senior thesis or something?
Didn't have any senior theses in chemistry. Mm-hmm. They had a senior thesis in biochemistry, but by my senior year, I had decided I was going to go into some kind of chemistry.
Now, the tutorial system at Harvard was kind of unique at that time.
Yeah.
Even now, I was surprised that you started as a sophomore. Was that usual?
Yeah, it was. It was usual. The only thing that was unusual in the experience I had was that due to this stellar grades, I got rather more personal attention, a more normal behavior for some of my friends who were in things like history or sociology or whatever, was to have the tutor talking to a group of fellas, 5, 6, 7, always a small group, and mine was always 1 or 2. And I had some very bright friends in my class who also concentrated in biochemistry. Davis, who was professor at the Harvard Medical School, and John Hickam, who was became a research professor in medical school, first at Duke and then Indiana. So I had a lot of very bright friends who probably had as much influence on me as many of these professors, because we talked with the tutors and we talked to one another. And having different interests, this was very good for us.
Which house did you live in?
Leverett.
Mm-hmm. The house system was, well, let's see, not terribly new then.
No, it was about four years old, pretty fresh. And mm-hmm. The houses by then were starting to get some of their individualistic character, but hadn't hardened.
I had
a housemaster named Murdoch, who was a historian, I think. Kenneth Ballard Murdoch, fine man.
Were you involved in any extracurricular activities?
Chess. My freshman year, I did a little track throwing hammer and shot put. And I got playing chess, and I played on the chess team for 4 years, got to be president of the chess club. Didn't do much else for sports. I used to row, get a shell and row up and down the river when I could. The laboratory work, if you're really taking all those chemistry courses, and I really took them, it really consumes you. When my friends would have time for this, that, and the other thing, I was up in the laboratory.
Absolutely.
And you may be able to grind out books fast and understand them fast, but the laboratory work has got to be done right. And being relatively young, I was a bit ham-handed. So I had to learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Had you had any projects at home when you were growing up, chemistry sets or anything like that?
Yeah, I had chemistry sets and played with them. Mm-hmm. And I found I learned an amazing amount. Having had no chemistry, I found when I took elementary chemistry, I knew more than I should. Mm. You know, from reading so much. And that's undoubtedly why I did so well in it. Uh-huh. And then I had an extraordinary physics teacher in that prep school. A fellow named Darrow, and he really was a good teacher. I never forget one gadget he had out in his office. Pardon me for going back,
no,
but good teachers are nice, and you ought to give them credit. This fellow's name was Floyd Darrow, and He had a complicated engine, I forget whose it was, out in the anteroom to his office. And it was supposed to do certain things. And my experience with this gadget was I looked at it and saw what it was supposed to do, and I started playing with it, and it didn't work. So I looked at it and studied it a while, and I saw something was wrong. So I took it apart and put it back together again, and it did work.
Let's see. Was this an internal combustion engine? Or
no, it was. It was not a. I forget again just what it was, but it was a mechanical contrivance, let's say. Anyway, I got it so it would work. You could even call it a Goldberg. It doesn't make any difference. But I got it so it would do what the little plate said it would do, and it was working beautifully. Then I went and saw Darrell, and went about my business. Later that day, I happened to go back to see him, and there he was putting that damn machine back into the condition it had been before. It was there as a teaching device.
I see.
He used it to find out which of his kids fought and which of his kids just accepted things.
I see. how many did?
I asked him that in later years, and he said he got about maybe 5% maximum of the kids who took physics would go in there and see it didn't work and try to fix it and fix it. Most of them would just look at it, give up in disgust. Mm-hmm. Fiendish. And it wasn't a very fancy thing. He was just trying to see if the people he was teaching were the dead or alive. Mm-hmm. It was as bright. Well, it didn't take any genius to see this.
Well, that's. Yeah, it's the question of Kisty Akowski, I think, is good at this. He asked the unexpected question.
And utterly disconcerting.
Well, then, who in particular? You've mentioned a number of people in your undergraduate career there. Is there anyone in particular that influenced you or did all that?
Well, there were a lot of them that really stimulated the thirst for knowledge and the questioning mind.
Was it just the general hard atmosphere?
General atmosphere. People who had a particular effect on me, though, would be like this man Morse that I took math from.
Was this Philip Morris?
Morse, M-O-R-S. Marston it was. Marston Morse.
Morse, okay.
M-O-R-S-E. Louis Fieser, a fantastically good teacher, organic chemistry. And George Kisty Akowski.
Okay.
That's enough.
How did you come to stay on at Harvard for graduate school rather than going elsewhere?
Well, when I got up to my senior year, I decided I wanted to really go ahead and get myself a doctor's degree, and I decided I'd like it sort of in the realm of the physical side of organic chemistry. And I liked Kohler. And so I tried to persuade him to let me study with him, and he said, I really ought to go somewhere else. And I just worked on him, and he said, okay.
I see.
And I had him in a difficult position, too, because by the time I had graduated from Harvard, I had taken all the chemistry courses they had, and I'd taken my exams for a master's degree. All I had to do as far as getting a master's degree was sit and suck my thumb. You know, so I was all ready to do research.
So he gave you a master's thesis.
I didn't get them. I had to have a year's residency to get the master's, but that's why I said all I do is.
Was there a thesis?
What? No.
No thesis.
No.
Just coursework.
Just course. The coursework was done. I passed. He had to pass some exams, some comprehensive exams, and I was very practical. I realized that if I stayed around another year, I'd have forgotten a lot of this coursework I'd be taking. I'd just be doing research, so I asked them, would they please let me take those exams? Because, you know, the courses were all fresh in my mind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about Kohler. I'm sure we're
Kohler,
interested in this background.
Well, Kohler was a Pennsylvania Dutchman, went to Muhlenberg, studied with Ira Remsen. You all right?
We're just at the end, so
okay.
Let's pause.
Yeah.